I'd like to welcome you. I'm Gary Knoll. We've had a power outage due to a Time Warner downage of our internet for the last approximately hour. So I only have about 12 minutes in this hour, maybe about 15. So my whole program I will put off until tomorrow, where I'm going to talk about watercress, found to block breast cancer cell growth, pycnogenol boosting, the athletic performance, and a new study, no evidence that water fluoridation prevents cavities. I had written an in-depth commentary today about how we have created the circumstances that create blowback in the Middle East and why we should pay attention to our actions and reactions because they're only going to cause more. Also, I was going to give a progressive platform that we should hold all candidates for any elected office, at least those who have, let's say, a congressional office, accountable to. And I'll do that tomorrow. So I have a lot to share tomorrow. What I'll share today is a few things on the number of medical procedures that have no benefit and even harm from the Journal of the American Medical Association. And then I'll open it up so you have a chance to call in and ask any question on health and healing that you feels important. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. To the sister stations, they're all fine because they get a pre-record, meaning a program I do and then send out to them. The PRN audience gets it live and then downloads the show. So you will have a full show to download. And so you can call in with any of the questions you have on any of the issues that are important to you, and I'll address them. So sorry that we had to give you a what is called an evergreen program, meaning I do some programs, 5 or 10, that are waiting in the vault, that are timeless, that any kind of interruption, if I'm traveling and can't make it to a telephone, they put them on. But let you know why we had that little interruption. Now, this is from GreenMed Info in Sarah G., which, by the way, is a very credible source for health and nutrition information. And this falls in alignment with what I've been finding for over a decade, that many people trust completely in whatever their physician says. Now, if what the physician is suggesting is legitimate, if it's based upon good quality clinical experience, meaning their own clinical experience, and you cannot say that that is not important, because what is the first thing a doctor should be asking you? How do you feel? What's wrong? How's the treatment going? If they're on medication, how are you doing with that medication? Is it too much, too little? Should we change it? So a good clinician is also a person that creates a dialogue, a meaningful dialogue with the patient. And that is very important. In any case, I found that a lot of patients are not giving the input to their doctor because the doctor isn't asking them. Instead, they go in, it's a very short visit, and they're given a refill and a prescription, and frequently can take as little as 6 to 7 minutes, as long as 14 minutes. How can you really find out about what's going on in a person's life that could be contributing to either the increase in the problem or helping them with a solution in such a little bit of input? So that leads to misdiagnosis, overdiagnosis, and a lot of procedures that have not really been validated by strict standards, hence this article here. I'm going to quote it verbatim. What if millions of medical diagnoses and procedures and treatments were based on, at best, questionable scientific evidence, but still performed daily, the world over, in the name of saving patients' lives or reducing their suffering? A new Journal of the American Medical Association review indicates this may be exactly what is happening. Concerning the new review published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, healthcare for which, quote, risk of harm exceeds its potential for benefit, end quote, finds that many commonly employed medical procedures to which millions are subjected to each year are based on questionable, if not also, in some cases, non-existent evidence, meaning they just make it up, doesn't exist. According to the review, which was co-authored by researchers from some of the country's most esteemed medical institutions, Medical overuse can also be defined as a healthcare practice that patients would forego consenting to if they were fully informed. They'd say, no, now that I know all the health risks, the answer is no, but they're not given that. They elaborate further on the definition of medical overuse, quote from the article. Medical overuse encompasses overdiagnosis, there's breast cancer, which occurs when individuals are diagnosed with conditions that will never cause symptoms, and overtreatment, which is treatment targeting overdiagnosed disease or from which there is minimal or no benefit. And by the way, taking antibiotics for viruses like cold or flu, that's one of those. Trouble is, they won't benefit, but there are side effects. Clearly, when information is lacking or withheld concerning the true risks and benefits of a medical procedure, the principle of informed consent is violated. And this is, no doubt, a far too common occurrence in today's medical landscape, where market forces rather than scientific evidence drive the medical consensus that determines the standard of care. In fact, there is reason to believe that the published biomedical literature is so corrupted by industry influence and publication bias that the entire ivory tower of evidence-based medicine, which Kelly Brogan, MD, recently described as a house of cards, is actually based on nothing more than a coin's flip worth of certainty. But there's also the far more insidious problem of the misclassification and misunderstanding of disease, which can mislead researchers, healthcare professionals, and their patients into performing and undergoing harmful procedures without anyone realizing the harmful and sometimes deadly consequences they have wrought. For example, over the past 8 years, we have identified what is essentially a vast, submerged iceberg of overdiagnosed and overtreated medical conditions, with the worst examples being common forms of breast cancer, prostate cancer, thyroid, and ovarian cancers. It was not until 2013 that the issue broke wide open when a National Cancer Institute commissioned expert panel acknowledged that early stage or stage zero breast and prostate cancers are actually benign or indolent lesions of epithelial origin and should never be termed carcinomas. End quote. Essentially, the National Cancer Institute report revealed that millions have been wrongly diagnosed and treated for breast and prostate cancers over the past few decades that they had never had. In the case of the DCIS, about 1.3 million, that's a ductal sarcoma and pseudo, 1.3 million U.S. women were subjected to some combination of either mastectomy, bad, lumpectomy, bad, radiation, terrible, chemotherapy, deadly, over the last 30 years, even though their screen-detected condition had no symptoms, posed no risk, and if left untreated would likely never have caused them any harm. And that does not even account for the radiobiological harms caused by X-rays mammography, which may have planted the seeds of malignancy into the healthy breast tissues of millions of women in the name of prevention through early detection. The new study titled Update on the Medical Practices That Should Be Questioned in 2014 reviewed 910 articles published in 2014, of which 440 directly addressed medical overuse. 104 of these were selected as most relevant, with the 10 most influential articles selected by author's consensus, and into the three sections, overdiagnosis, overtreatment, and methods to avoid medical overuse. And then it went through it. I'll just go through the headlines. Asymptomatic carotid stenosis. And by the way, that's just a colloquial known as blocked or restricted arteries in the neck. The carotid artery stenosis often presents no symptoms. It's asymptomatic. And it is routinely treated with carotid angioplasty and stenting. That's where they place a balloon or stent within the artery to open it up, or surgical removal of the inner lining of the artery and obstruction deposits found then as a so-called precautionary measure. But the review of the actual science, the systematic review, quote, a meta-analysis of the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force found no, zero not a single study providing data on whether screening for carotid stenosis reduced stroke. What was found is that carotid ultrasonography screening leads to many false positives, a finding I believe contributes to increased death and injury. So, and then you have screening pelvic examinations are inaccurate in asymptomatic women, are associated with harms that exceed clinical benefits. In fact, they review, quote, do not perform screening pelvic examinations, and yet clinicians go ahead and do it. And then head computed tomography is often ordered, but is rarely helpful. Well, your CAT scans. And by the way, a second head CAT scan rarely affects patient management. Clinicians should be judicious, but they don't, and it's very dangerous. Remember, CAT scan, you're getting a ionizing radiation, a very huge amount, far more than a chest X-ray. And yet it's functionally worthless, they're saying here in many cases. Thyroid cancer is massively overdiagnosed, leading to concrete harm. And then there's overtreatment with different drugs. For example, for low back pain like Tylenol, yet it's not working. And it says here there's no benefit to this approach. And then post-operative opiate use continues past post-operative period, meaning they're giving drugs, painkillers, and that can cause addiction. And the harms of perioperative aspirin outweigh the benefits in patients undergoing non-cardiac surgery. And yet it's common. Aspirin use is common in the period before and after non-cardiac surgeries. And it's saying, don't use it. Mind you, who's saying this? A whole team, major team of university professors. And this was a randomized blinded trial comparing 200 milligrams of aspirin with a placebo for 30 days, perioperative period, in 10,000 patients. And they found it doesn't work. And then the renal artery revascularization for renal artery stenosis had no clinical benefit, none, zero. And medications to raise high-density lipoprotein cholesterols do not improve cardiac outcomes, cardiovascular outcomes. And then the most diagnoses are based on history and physical examination and conservative management, and we're just overdiagnosing. There are 400 million annual office visits in the U.S. alone. And at least 50% of the time, people go to see their doctor for physical symptoms, a symptom-based paradigm. And they're getting overdiagnosed, overtreated. And so that's what this says. I think it's extremely important. So that's that. Now, I'm looking at the clock. And again, today we were preempted, though we did have a program on, from my regular program because of our system was down, and it wasn't in the office, or it was in the whole building, and that was a Time Warner issue. I'm going to end today with a opportunity for people in the audience, something really good. I have a product. I invented this product over 20 years ago, and I've improved it, and this is the latest edition. It's called Rock Hard. It's for men. In it, I have a blend of yohimbe bark, oat straw, saw palmetto berry, a very important ginkgo biloba leaf, ginger root, eleuthera root, murea puama root, lycium berry, fresh ashwagandha root, velvet bean seed, anise seed, cardamom seed, cinnamon seed, and a epimedium herb. And that's all. It's liquid. It's in a glycerin-filtered water. It's vegan. It's normally $58.99 for per bottle, and it's a 2-ounce bottle. It's offered for $39.95 today. That's a great discount. Now, what I will not tell you what it does, I won't make any claims for it. I don't do that for any product I create. But for men in this audience, of all ages, but normally after the 40 group, we're all aware of some of the problems that men can have. So this is just one of the important ways of approaching it. This is called Rock Hard for men, and it works. Call this number if you'd like it at a great discount, $39.95. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. So tomorrow, I'm going to be doing commentaries. Several commentaries. I wrote the commentaries yesterday. I believe that what we need on progressive radio worldwide is we need more critical thinkers taking not political stances, but rather philosophical stances to look, stand back, look at a problem and see what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, and then offer positive solutions. Why did 506,000 people download in the evenings this program last week alone? Principally because it empowers people. People should be empowered. We hear so much that disempowers us. It's nice to know that we also have voices out there, many voices that are empowering people. So continue listening and continue reading the articles, downloading them, sharing with people. And our next stop, Eutrice Lead. She does a lot of empowerment too. She's coming at you right now. Have a nice day, everyone.